My friend John and I have a lot in common. We're both actors, we're both musicians. You should definitely check out his band Festive People on Apple Music or Spotify. Their album will blow your mind. It's honestly so good. Both raised Mormon, both white, straight, late 20s, early 30s hipsters who have always desperately wanted to be considered cool. But another thing we have in common is we're both prone to bouts of highly destructive and unpredictable anger. It's not a common trait that either of us is necessarily proud of. I'd go as far as to say we both wish we could just get rid of our anger problem altogether, but it's there nonetheless. And it's a problem I've noticed with a lot of my friends. Particularly, and I don't mean to generalize, but I think there's enough evidence to show some kind of correlation, but I think I'm seeing it more with my male friends. And I don't think that this should come as a shock to anyone listening. The problem of angry young men in America and in the world at large is widely publicized and worried about these days. Whether it's angry young men being recruited by radical groups that use violence as a means to feel like their lives have meaning, or angry lone wolf shooters taking out their rage on crowds of unsuspecting strangers, the mainstream emergence of the storyline around angry young men, or angry men in general, is getting more and more difficult to ignore. And it's not always on the national or international stage. For generations, this problem has existed largely on a domestic scale, affecting mostly women in relationships with angry men and their children. Personally, I want to be a kind person. I want to be thought of as a kind person by the people who meet me. I want to be a level-headed person, a rational person, and a person who always leads with love and never with blinding rage. But all too often, I find I've said or done things in a flash of anger that I immediately regret, not knowing how I got there or how I can stop it from happening again. And it can honestly feel very hopeless. Like you're dealing with a version of you that just isn't you. Some weird monster that lives in a dark cellar in your being, and it's deep in there, and you never know when it's going to come bursting out, destroying everything. And it doesn't seem like there are any reliable ways to guarantee the monster can be killed or changed or reasoned with. And I don't think John and I solved it, but I do think that continuing the conversation might be a decent place to start. So that's what we did. We had a big, long talk about it. From a Blanket Fort recording studio in my North Hollywood apartment, this is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and today I'm talking to my friend John Lane about anger.
Yeah.
Did you get angry today at all?
No.
No? And you played sports and you kept it together.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I am getting back into baseball, which is fascinating because that was where my parents and myself first fully encountered my anger. Yeah, I started playing baseball when I was a little kid.
How old were you when you first started playing?
Probably like 4 or 5.
Did you get angry from then?
I don't remember. I only really remember getting angry, like, probably at the age of accountability. 8.
For those who don't know, Mormons have the age of 8 as the age of accountability, when you are officially able to tell the difference between right and wrong and to take accountability for your actions. So the ripe old age of 8 years old.
8 years old.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. That's when I started remembering. I remember, like, my temper starting to flare up. But you know, it just kept getting worse and worse the more competitive I got in baseball, and eventually it just got so bad that I left. I just stopped playing.
How old were you when you stopped playing?
13. And
so it was between 5 and 13, where somewhere in there you had the
wherewithal to realize, oh, I can't do this. I can't
do it.
This is going to kill me.
Yeah. I found other things, fortunately. You know, I started ballroom dancing, like,
wow, which,
like, competitively, but it's different.
did you ever get mad dancing?
No.
Not really?
Not in the same way.
Much more
all.
Peaceful.
Like, it's just not, like, when you're, I don't know, team sports just uniquely bring out the rage in me. And, like, ballroom, you could say is somewhat of a, the way I did it, it was somewhat of a team sport, but not in the same way at all. Like, baseball, it's, like, very, you know, it's black and white. Like, you either hit the ball or you didn't. You either pitched a strike or you didn't. The big turning point for me in baseball was, I remember I was 13, I was on a team, and this kid named JJ was pitching to me, and he was a bigger kid, and he could throw really hard, and he was a good pitcher, but he was fucking it up, and I was catching for him. And, like, as the catcher, a part of the responsibility, other than catching the ball, is like, calming down the pitcher, and, like, kind of being the therapist for the pitcher, and, like, you know, if they're getting out, wound up, like, bringing them back down to earth. And
I never knew that.
Yeah,
really?
It's a big part of it.
Catcher has to go over and be like, it's all right, bud.
It's all good.
Don't worry.
It's like, let's get on the same page. Let's lock and load. Let's do this thing. I was terrible at that. And JJ was screwing up, man. He was throwing all the wrong pitches. He was walking guys left and right. And I distinctly remember, after one pitch, we walked, I don't know what happened to me, something bad happened, and I walked the ball back to him, and I looked at him, and I said, you sicken me.
Whoa! Just not the opposite of, hey, bud, we got this. The pitcher's supposed to, or catcher's supposed to, it's all right, it's all good. You sicken me.
That's what I told him. And, and then...
Had you been kind of going, it's all right, we're good, don't worry, and you'd been...
And then eventually, like, that started, I stopped saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think you said everything that needs to be said.
Yeah, yeah. I stopped saying anything. And, like, obviously, I'm terrible. Like, everybody knows when I'm angry. Everybody knows when I'm feeling anything.
Yeah.
Like, I just wear it on my face like crazy.
I think I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't help it. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Like, I like it, the fact that people know I'm not in a happy mood. Like, you know, it's like, okay, we aren't going to treat him like he's, you know, having the best day of his life. Like, he's obviously not doing great.
Yeah.
I think it kind of comes in
handy. I guess a bad face is better than, like, a full-blown meltdown, but...
Sure.
But I still am like, I wish I could find a way to just fix my goddamn face. Because,
I'm learning to appreciate this face of mine.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so I'm sure there was, like, a transition. It wasn't just like, hey, buddy, you're doing great. And then the next pitch, I'm like, you suck. You sicken me. Go to hell. You
know? He messes up once. Yeah. You fucking sicken me. You.
No. No, it wasn't like
your
that.
Your parents, like, hate you.
Oh, man, that's right. I remember his parents. I remember what his parents looked like. That was so long ago.
Do you think he told his parents on the ride home? He was like, John told me I sicken him.
The story continues. The story continues.
Oh, no.
So I say, you sicken me. I didn't think I yelled it, but everybody heard me say it. And they pulled me out of the game.
You said it loud enough. Yeah. For people in the stands to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at a Little League game. So, like, they weren't that far away,
but
right?
But, I mean, that's
my coach 20, heard it. My dad
feet.
Heard me.
So it wasn't, you my, sicken me. It was probably, you sicken me. It was probably that, around that level.
No, it was probably louder.
You think it was louder than that?
Yeah, I would really give you an example, but I don't want to clip the mic.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, no.
Back up and tell me how loud. Like.
Okay. You sicken me. Yeah, I was only 13, but I imagined it having a lot of depth. Like, coming from...
Oh, a 13-year-old saying that just to another 13-year-old.
That's just when I was... And the thing is, he was actually younger than I was.
Oh,
I was like
no!
a younger kid. Yeah. I was... Oh, man, it's just such a piece of shit. But, you know, we all have to learn things about ourselves. That, like, looking back, that is, like, the first time that I can identify this thing that I call... Like, in my chest cavity, I have a little cup.
Yeah.
And in this cup is battery acid.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I take out the cup and I spritz a little bit of battery acid on the people around me. often enough the people I love care about, but like, yeah, it's just this little thing. And that's it, you know, that you sickened me. It was just like, I knew what to say to really crush him in that moment.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and it's just this little cup. It's like, hey, here you go. Here's a little something, something, because I hate you right now. And like,
wow.
Yeah, like guys at work love to like tease each other, and they're like, yeah, you suck, you dumb motherfucker. You know, they're all like having fun like guys do.
Yeah, other people are good at this. I feel like other people are at work. I have the same thing. They're really good at saying things to me that are like curt or sound mean, but somehow like in my head, I'm like, can you say that to me? But I don't like respond. But if I say, but it's probably because mine, it like comes off with this thing of like, oh, you. Like that, really that came it. From like from down in there, and but it instantly gets this response where they're like, "Oh no, you don't talk to me like that." And I'm like, "Yeah, but you do it."
Yeah,
but like they're like, "Yeah, but yours," and I feel like theirs is real too. But I don't know what it is that like.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just more professional, or. Yeah. But tell me, finish the story.
So So they take me out of the game. My dad has never been more disappointed in me, and like he actually after the game, we went over to JJ's house. And I had to apologize to him.
Whoa.
It was like that. And that never happened before. And that was my last season of baseball. And you know, I picked up other things.
Do you think that was a joint decision between you and your parents? Was it kind of like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this? Or was it you just being like, I don't want to do that?
I had a reputation.
Yeah.
Honestly, by that point, like in the league, I had a reputation. Nobody wanted to take me.
Did you ever get
in
a fight? Did you ever like storm the plate or anything like that?
No.
Yeah.
No, I had this example of a kid when I was like much younger. I remember playing Boys and Girls Club baseball, and there was this kid who had Tourette's on another team, and like he would actually like go ballistic. And like my dad was an umpire, and like he was throwing a bad pitch, and the kid tried to avoid it and accidentally swung the bat in avoiding the pitch, and my dad had to call the strike.
Right.
And the kid almost like beat my dad over the head with a bat.
Ooh.
Like, so like I saw that at a young enough age. I'm like, don't want to be that. That's not ever going to be me. I'm never going to go after somebody.
It's interesting your brand though, because I feel like there's these different brands that I see. Some of them are those brute force. Like, I'm going to kill you with this bat.
Yeah.
And you're like the wordsmith. You've told me several stories of being like, I'm going to say a thing to this person that's going. And I feel like mine comes out in like this stuttering, like goofy, like I just get mad and I just am like, well, I wish I could at least say to a person, you sicken me or something like that. But instead I'm just kind of like, they're like, oh, do you need help with something? I'm like, well, I don't know. Everyone else is getting help, but I seems like no one has the time to help me right now, but whatever, it's fine. And it just comes out kind of awkward and like stumbly. And then I'm just like, man, I wish I could at least have a satisfying moment of like, ugh,
like I take it,
you know? But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's its own thing. I jokingly say that, like, my anger demon inside of me, like, the words I use, like, I want what I say to wake you up in 5 years in the middle of the night.
Whoa.
You know, it's like, that's the level of, like, crazy that's going on in my head. It's just like, that's what I want you to feel. You know, I, like, in that moment of saying that to JJ, like, I hope 5 years later he was like, wait, oh, man, I just had the worst dream. Oh.
Yeah. I think... I mean, I just, like, I relate to this so hard. Because I do this, I have, like, fantasies of, like, what I would say to that person that's making me mad if I could, like, get them alone in a room.
Yeah.
And it's not anything as sadistic or sick as, you know, I want to torture them, I want to pull their fingernails out with, you know. But it's like, you know, like, last night this guy tipped me $15 on a $200 bill.
Okay.
And, like, I want... Oh me and God. Him to be alone in a room, and I want to go, what? Explain to me, walk me through what you think happened during the hour that you were in my restaurant that justified your less than 10% tip. I want you to explain it to me, because I think you owe me an explanation, and then I'm going to go through all the reasons why you're wrong, because I know what bad service looks like, and I know you got good service. And I know you gave me $15 for no reason other than that you're just a cheap son of a bitch. But I want you to, like, you know, so it's like I have these fantasies of, like, these things that'll never come to fruition, that'll never happen. And also it's playing out the tape of, like, but what is the goal here? What is the, what's the, and I like that. I want to say something that wakes them up in 5 years. I want to say something that changes the way they behave. I want to be like, I want you to be better.
Maybe there is like this nugget of altruism in there. It's just like, I actually want the best for you. Yeah. And I think moving forward, you would be better off if you knew what you just did to me.
Yeah, like you wanted that kid, like I know that it's hard and I know, but like I want you to be a better pitcher.
Well, I don't know about that. I think that was just like a moment of awfulness and like there's no, like people perform poorly all the time and that's okay. Like with pitching, like there's just not a whole lot you can do.
And you were a kid.
I was a kid.
But I have the same thing. I started, I played basketball as a kid and soccer and I was never very good. Mm-hmm. And my dad would give me pointers after games and I would be so mad at him for like insinuating that I wasn't great at basketball, even though like I clearly wasn't. But I was like, so like don't tell me what I could fix in my game. Like my game doesn't need your input, you know? But I think that mine came more from insecurity and embarrassment and this kind of fear of, and I still, it's amazing to see, it's just like you saw, that this still carries into your adult life. It still carries over. I still have this problem of wanting to be good at something automatically and getting very embarrassed when I'm not.
Yeah.
And getting very insecure. I mean, all of my blowups that I've had at my current restaurants with coworkers were in like my first 3 weeks working there because I was embarrassed that I was the new guy and I was naturally fucking up. I was naturally like doing, just making little mistakes here and there. And people were correcting me and helping me, sometimes a little bit more harsh than others.
Sure.
But it would accumulate to this point where I'm like, hey, I've been working in restaurants for several, you know, I know what I'm doing. And I would get mad, but it's like, it's okay. You're the new guy. And just like, say thank you and move on. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay that you're not. So that's where mine comes from. I think some of the time is I have a hard time being called out for when I'm not instantly the best at something.
My blowups in that same realm. It's interesting. You're like, the first like 3 weeks, that's where you experience it. Uh-huh. For me, I think it's more the second 3 weeks. Like that's where my
blowups. That might be more accurate, honestly.
Yeah. Like I'm pretty forgiving of myself in the first 3 weeks.
That it's might like, be more accurate as I was after at once, but then once I have the hang
you
of
settled
it,
settled in. Uh-huh. It's just like, wait a second, I'm good at this now. Uh-huh. Why is this still a or why is this new problem happening?
Yet? Right, right. I was taking it with grace the first few weeks, and now.
Now I love the idea of following the thread, like you know when you get really angry at somebody, it's like wait. And you want to do something about it. It's like, I want to talk to that person. I want to like, but like, what does that actually look like?
Yeah.
I love that idea.
Yeah. What do you, I'll go as far. I'll admit it. And you know, maybe this gets me in trouble. I don't know. But I feel like part of being an angry person, I think, is empathizing with people who snap what's weird is like, I still am mad at people who snap. Like I don't like seeing stories about people who like snapped. I don't like seeing stories about someone who like actually threw a fit or like actually like punched a person at a restaurant in the face. I don't see that and go like, good for them. Like I'm like, hey, don't come on. That's no way to behave. Yeah. But I understand because I sit there and I'm like, part of me would like to talk to the man and explain to him why $15 on 200 is absurd with this kind of service he got. But another part of me would like to smash a porcelain plate over his head. Yeah. I'd like to just go out there and just break a skateboard on his nose, you know? And so like, and I like, I don't know. And I of course can play that tape out and go, of course the thing that's, you know, not, that's going to keep me from doing that and going to keep is like, I know that not only does that lead to me losing my job, it leads to me possibly going to prison.
Yeah.
It leads to that man who is someone's dad and something like, and maybe that's the thing that separates us from sociopaths is we're actually able to play out the consequences and actually feel bad for even thinking the thought in the first place, you know? But
I just remember this experience I had where I was driving down a road and there, I was, you know, I was I was stuck behind this guy who's going really slow, and that's okay, that happens, and I had an opportunity to pass him, and you know, you get into the
and you ride a scooter.
I was actually in my car at the
time. You were in your car.
I was in my car at the time, and so I pass him, and there's a truck pretty far off in the distance, a semi truck coming the other way. So I have to hurry, but like I have plenty of time to pass this slow car, especially for how slow the car was going. And as I'm in, you know, I'm passing him, and as I'm passing him, the truck that's like almost, I would say it was almost like a quarter mile, if not a half mile off, on a 35 mile an hour road, this truck starts flashing its lights. And I'm like, what the? And so I get back over, and I pass successfully. I'm fine. And then as I'm passing this truck, he swerves over and, like, tries to scare me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's just something in my head. I got so angry that somebody would, like, want to hurt me for doing something that I was clearly in the right about. And I got so angry so quickly. And then as I just kept driving, I'm like, I want to turn around the car. I want to turn around the car. I want to follow him. I want to follow him. That's what I want to do right now. Like, why? Why do I want to do that? Okay, I want to do that because I want to track him down. I want to follow him all the way. Like, what would you do? I would follow him to where he was going. He'd get out of his truck. And then I'd be like, hey, why'd you do that? And then he would say why he did that. I'm like, well, I had plenty of room, blah blah blah. Like, I'm right here. And then I'd say, I said to myself, like, well, what if he still thought he was right? Like, what would you do then? And then I'm like, I guess I would take him to the ground. I would, like, physically.
It escalates.
Yeah,
so quickly.
I would, like, yeah, I would take him to the ground. And, you know, I remember being my older brothers, but the way they would pin me down, and like they would have their knee, they would be right on top of me with their knees on both of my arms. And so I couldn't move at all. And like they would, you know, do what brothers do. They'd spit on your face or whatever, like slap you around, yeah. you know, whatever.
But in
like,
this case, maybe you're just pushing
yeah,
the guy's
but yeah,
head
but
into
like,
the ground.
Yeah, I would just, I would, I, like I envisioned it. I was so angry at the time. And, I envisioned having my knees on his arms and him not being able to move and just like looking into his eyes and being like, say it, say that I'm right. You know that I'm right. I'm not wrong. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is my fantasy. Like, I'm pulling the thread all the way to the end. And like, I don't know what I would do. Like, what if he was still adamant that he was right? Like, what would I do?
Oh, rage fantasies are real, dude. And it's intoxicating.
Yeah.
It's like for that little moment that you get to go into that world where you're like, this is what I would do. And so here's where I'm like, okay. So we talked earlier, a little bit earlier about like, controversial subject, you know, subject matter for conversations that people just don't want to talk about.
Sure.
But I kind of am like,
love
one
it.
Thing on this podcast is I'm kind of like, I would like to talk about anything and everything. That's mm-hmm. kind of one of the things that first excited me about being a kind of progressive minded liberal person. You know, we were both raised in a conservative Mormon state, both raised LDS, you know, both. And I think I liked the idea of, I was kind of raised in a little pocket where they didn't want me to talk about certain things. They didn't want me to read certain things. They didn't want me to explore certain ideas or certain avenues. I found in secularism, I want to explore everything and I want to talk about everything. Even stuff like, you know, This American Life had an episode about like pedophilia and about like, it's a great episode, but it's mm-hmm. also an episode it's very difficult to listen to, but it's kind of asking whether or not there's room in our society for even just better conversations around that, or even just like better consideration of like what these people are going through.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, that's even a bridge too far. They're like, no, I would rather just lock them up and just, you know, and it's like, but I look at this and go, and I'm not comparing anger to pedophilia. I'm saying it's in the same vein of, it's an undesirable part of my personality mm-hmm. that I would like to offload that has the potential to do me and the people I love great harm.
Oh yeah.
And seems to have been with me for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I think a lot of my anger, if I try to track the origin of it, comes from self-entitlement and self-will, for me comes from fear, comes from insecurity. But that even goes to, like, I would be mad as a toddler that, like, people were spending time, like, taking my mom's attention away from me. And that's why I don't like it, is, like, I would like to mature past this self-entitlement that I am entitled to better behavior from people. I am entitled to and fairness and, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is, when I track where it comes from, I feel no closer to a solution because it feels like it's tied to the essence of my being. Yeah. And I don't know if that's chemical. I don't know if that's testosterone, if that's evolutionary, or if that's...
I think it's pretty chemical.
Yeah.
I think more so than anybody, than I ever gave it credit. And the reason I say that is because I actually have a friend of mine who is transitioning.
Yeah.
And he's a trans man and is taking testosterone. And I can't help but ask him all these questions about, like, you know, what are you feeling now that you have this?
There's another American Life episode about testosterone too, where they talk about this exact thing, but keep going.
Dear God, it's been revelatory for me.
Yeah.
And it's just put, I don't know, like it's really given me a lot of peace about who I am as an angry person, like, you know, that being a part of myself. Because, like, he says that, you know, before, like, things would just roll off his back, you know? But now, not so much. Like, this testosterone has amplified that aspect of his personality in ways that he never expected.
Now, I'll say this, because I agree with you. So the episode of This American Life sent me into this whole thing. I'd never considered it, but this man was talking about how when he started pumping testosterone into his system, these things started to happen. His sex drive changed from when he was biologically female, he would see women that he was attracted to and think, like, oh, she looks interesting. She looks like the kind of person who might have the same taste in books as me.
Yeah.
And he reported the feeling of, now my sexual drive is I want to tackle them and, like, eat their butt. And I'm like, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, I want, like, it's an animal. Like, I want, like, I see a person and I'm like, I would bite their thigh. I would, like take a bite, you know? And it's like this thing of, like, I don't even, I bet I wouldn't like that person. Like, I bet we wouldn't get along and I would just, you know, and it's like, so it's like this, like, so it has to be chemical because, and I find I get a lot of, people bucking against this when I say this, whenever I say, like, well, I think it's the difference of testosterone and estrogen, especially female friends buck against this. And I wonder if it's because it sounds like I'm trying to abdicate responsibility for my actions. Like, it sounds like I'm going, oh, it's just in my chemicals, so there's nothing I can do. Do you think that's what it is? That
sure,
people,
yeah.
That it?
It's also something that they don't understand at all.
I mean,
not at all. Like, my mom had no idea. My mom...
I had no idea.
Growing up, my mom... No, I mean, just, like, it's something that people...
Yeah, I think, like, people will hear you say that and go, like, oh, he just said women don't... And it's like, it's not about that. I had no idea. I didn't even consider the fact that I have different chemicals pumping through my, you know...
It's just... The older I get, the more I understand. Like, my mom, like, growing up was always... I love her to death. And she would had this script of, like, oh, man, if you could just take that anger and direct it, you know, like a laser beam into something productive. I'm like, Mom, you don't get it. It's a flash of light. And just, like, it's lightning in my head.
So
and
quick.
It's just like, and there's no, it, you know, it's like that one X-Men character takes off his glasses and it's just like, oh, it's everywhere.
The toothpaste is always out of the tube before I even knew that I was squeezing it.
Right? Yeah, there it is.
It's too late.
That's coming from someone who truly has no idea what this is. They don't get, and I attribute it to, somewhat biologically, to testosterone, but, like, it's probably not entirely that. It's a lot of things.
It's got to be a combination. Surely, surely with, I mean, my favorite movies growing up were, like, the Rambo series with Sylvester Stallone and, like, Rocky. And, like, I just loved anything where people were punching people in the face.
Sure.
And where people were shooting machine guns and people were, and explosions were going off. And maybe I liked those movies because of the testosterone pumping through my veins. Or maybe I liked those movies because I was trying to connect to the other male role models in my life. Sure. And then, and I would say there's enough of a correlating link to say there could be causality between several of those factors,
yeah,
whether it's conditional or chemical. But I think that whenever I say it's chemical, I get a little, to women especially, they buck against it a little bit. But I started, when I heard this episode of, the thing that fascinated me when I heard this episode of This American Life about testosterone was, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of other podcasts, but
whatever.
No one's going to listen to this. He talked about how he cries less, and I'd never considered that. And you and I have talked about this, about how I wish that my anger manifested as tears instead of what it manifests, instead of ugly words and bad thoughts. And because that sent me on a quest where I started asking all of my female friends and all of my male friends, male identified and female identified, and even friends who were genderqueer and stuff. I started asking everyone I could find, how often do you cry? And of course, this led me to big general conclusions and anecdotal conclusions. Sure, but yeah, the general consensus was pretty damn clear that pretty much every single woman I asked said, oh, I cried earlier today. Or, you know, like, I cry almost daily, or sometimes multiple times a day, you know, 5-6 times a week. And it varied with men, but yeah, it was always less.
Always.
It was always less.
Yeah.
A person like me, I think I cry a lot for a man. I think, mm-hmm, I cry 3 or 4 times a month.
Yeah.
And that to me seems like a lot.
Yeah.
And then this is a funny story. We just went to a wedding in Montana, and my friends Tom and Kelsey, who got married, were two of the people I asked, and Kelsey was like, every day. And I asked Tom, I was like, Tom, you don't seem like a person who cries a lot. How often do you cry? And he goes, last time I cried was 4 years ago. And he tells me whole story. He's like, I was at work, and we were in a meeting, and I was really stressed out that week. And I remember I left to the bathroom because I was feeling like really stressed out. And he's like, and my head started hurting. He's like, and then I cried a little bit in the bathroom. And I was like, 4 years? Like, he's just like, so like, what is this thing that's happening to me?
Such a biological explanation too. He's like, my head started hurting.
Just like someone who really had no idea what crying felt like. He's like, my throat was like kind of
leaking.
It was weird. He's like, I realized this is crying. But he cried at the wedding. And so that's what I was telling everyone at the wedding. I was like, I hope everyone appreciates how rare what we saw today was, because Tom never cries and we all saw him cry.
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome. But I think, yeah, we've talked about how in relationships, men can get frustrated at how easily they're, again, in heteronormative relationships, mm-hmm, how easily their female counterparts can be moved to tears. And we want to go, no, but that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I just look like so much more of a dick,
yes,
because I'm yelling.
Exactly. And no, my wife, she's wonderful. But like when she gets stressed out, that's what happens. That's how she reacts to stresses on her life, you know? She cries, or uh-huh, she gets emotional, she uh-huh gets sad. And it, for me, the same stimuli, it creates anger. Mm-hmm. And it's just so frustrating. It has always seemed so unfair to me, because it's so frustrating. People see her get sad and they want to help her.
Yeah.
They're like, here's a helping hand. People see me get angry because I need the same thing, like in the same situation. Like, we both need something to be satiated or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they look at me and they're like, come on, get it together.
But
what's
also
wrong with you?
But also, like, I am unhelpable when I am angry. Sure. Like, there is nothing anyone can say to me that will satiate it, because I don't want to be talked off. I came home today and I was blaring about the Great White Hut, and I was blaring about my day at work, and Sweet Mary, my partner, was asking, is there anything I can do for you? What can I do? And I was like, and it was making it worse, because I was like, you should know that there is nothing that can be done to soothe this red hot heat that is, you know. Like,
and that's, Allie has learned. We've been together for 4+ years now.
Yeah.
And she's figured it out. She's figured out the aspect of it where it's just like, you need to cool down. And like,
just, but in a very similar sense, it's like you just need to cry. Like you just you just need to be sad for today. And I'm not going to fix it by saying a magic combination of words.
Right.
I might go get you some ice cream, and I might like maybe make some soup or something. And I'll sit next to you and watch your favorite show with you. But like right now, you just need to cry. God,
you know, it's fascinating. My mom was in town the other day, and she is an emotional ninja when it comes to turning things around. Like. I've been pretty depressed for the past couple of weeks, and I go through these phases where I'm like 6 months up and 6 months down.
Ooh, that's long stretches.
It is. Yeah, it's not great.
But mine are more like 2 weeks, 2 weeks, two weeks, 2 weeks.
Nice. Yeah, no. So, you know, for 6 months, it's been great. Like, I don't know. I've been like making art and doing things and feeling productive, even though like to a lot of other people around, it wouldn't seem like I was that productive. But I'm like, I don't know. I'm living my best life.
Kicking ass.
But now the same thing is just not working anymore. I'm just sad all the time. And my mom came to visit. My parents, both of them came to visit. And I was just so sad. And my mom... We got into a little spat earlier in the day, and then we left to go visit my brother in Orange County. And my mom thought that I was angry at her. She was acting pretty cold toward me, and I'm like, this is really weird. I don't understand what's going on, but she's being really short with me, and this isn't really like her. And then she thought that in my sadness that I was just, like, angry at her. And so it came to a head on the drive back up north to Los Angeles, and I'm like, what's wrong? What's going on? And she's like, well, you're mad at me, and I don't know how, I feel like I have to tiptoe around you all the time in order to, you know, but you're just always mad, get so offended by every little thing. I'm like, no, Mom, I'm not mad. I'm sad. I'm sad all the time. I feel so sad, and like, I'm sorry that it came off as anger, but I'm so sad, and I don't know what to do, and but it's not you, and everything's fine. I'm just trying my best. And she was like, oh. And I have to tell you, I can't emphasize this enough. She was very, very frustrated, like borderline angry with me.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh. And I swear to God, she just turned it off. She's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm glad I know. And she like is totally satiated by that entirely. She's just like, cool. All right. Like she could go on to do the nicest thing for somebody in the next moment, in the next breath.
That's almost infuriating,
isn't
it? It is
so infuriating. She's so good at that. And, like, I've seen it countless times where she can just, like, she speaks her piece, and then we move on. Everything's fine. It's like, what?
How do you do that?
I don't know.
How do you... I think that's something I've noticed, too, with my mom's done that, too, where we've been in, like, we've been yelling at each other. We've been, like, I've been, like, yelling, and then we, like, get to what it is that's wrong, and she's like, oh, okay. And then she's like, well, hey, did you still want to go to the mall later? And I'm like, what? Are we not just going to like be like silently mad at each other for like a few hours where like we sort of like say it?
It's true wisdom.
But I even think that,
oh man,
I don't know if that's a defense mechanism that women have learned to deal with. So let me ask you this. Is your dad an angry guy?
Yes.
Yeah. So my dad's an angry guy too. And my mom's had to learn to live with an angry guy.
Man.
And so maybe just years of living with angry guys, they've learned, oh, I need to figure out what's behind this. And once I figure it out, I know how to instantly throw water on that fire and just like, and back away. And it's going to be hard for him. I'm going to watch him go, are we done? Are we through it? You know, but like, it's a thing that they've learned how to do how to, you know, but God, it's infuriating to see someone switch it off like that. Jeez. To just see someone. Cause I'll be mad. I'm mad about shit that happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like I'm, you know, and I think that that's the difference too, is like the same stimuli that makes women sometimes sad and cry and things like that can just be a day to day, just like, I'm just feeling low today. And it can even be that simple. I'm just sad today. I'm just bummed out. I'm just feeling a little bit unfulfilled today, you know? But I'm like, I'm mad. And it's like, what are you mad about? I'm like, everything that's ever happened. And today it's this stuff, but I'm mad that the rainforest is on fire, and I'm mad that like, and I'm mad that like,
stimuli from that far away can get you.
I do get very grandiose with I just, it becomes this fuck it all mindset. It becomes this, why not just, like, sometimes I want to kill myself because I'm sad and I feel very, like, who cares? But sometimes I want to kill myself because I'm, like, pissed. Because I'm just like, well, because while it can be intoxicating to be that angry, it can also be just miserable.
Yeah.
It can feel awful. I was driving home today and I was like, I hate this. I hate feeling this angry. And I wish I could just turn it off. Now, that's the next thing I want to talk to you about. So again, going back to conditional versus chemical, I want to make sure that it's clear that we agree that it's probably a mixture of – and again, we're not scientists, so we don't know hard science on this. I think people overlook the chemical aspect.
Yes.
But surely we were both raised by angry dads. I love my dad very much.
As
but
do I.
I definitely see myself in him when I get angry, and I see myself behaving very much like him, getting angry at little tasks. And
but to speak to the chemical portion of that just for a moment,
yeah,
like what I've noticed in my dad is that as he's gotten older,
it's calmed down. Yeah. Now solutions is the last thing I want to talk about, because here's the thing that drives me nuts is I'm an alcoholic and I want a fast solution for everything. The reason I'm an alcoholic is because I want to be able to turn off my day when I get done with work. So I want to just be able to go and pound vodka till I don't care about the guy tipping me $15 on $200 anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and so I want to be able to turn off my day and turn my emotions down. And that's why I really loved alcohol and weed, is it just kind of just muzzed out everything. You know, I did lots of drugs and I had lots of fun on lots of drugs, but those were the ones that just give me a nice little filter over everything. But I'm finding, of course, that lasting solutions take a lot more day-to-day commitment and work. And I fucking hate that. I'm like, is there a pill I can take that can I just take something that makes me nicer? That makes me.
Today I've been thinking about that a lot, actually, because I haven't been angry today. I've been feeling great. I've been having I don't know.
And like, I came in and fucked that up with the.
No. I feel great. I feel just totally good. And it's just one of those days where I'm like, I'm just glad. Like, there are parts of my life that I don't love, include being angry sometimes, but like, I don't want to, I've just started drinking and stuff and smoking weed because I was Mormon. I'm not.
And you got to try the fun
not
stuff.
Not anymore. So I got to try the fun stuff. So I tried the fun stuff and I enjoy it. Like I love just getting shit faced. It's a good time.
Yeah. It's a good time, man.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But like then I started like trying drinking at home, like, you know, after a long day sort of a thing, like you were describing. And like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like I want to experience it all. Like, I don't want to like gloss over the shitty stuff, because then it's like, how can you really appreciate the great stuff if you're just like, let's pretend like the shitty stuff just doesn't exist.
Well, and I will say that when I first started drinking and using drugs, I always had it as a goal in my mind not to drink medicinally, like not to drink to like treat sadness or to treat frustration, but only to drink because me and my buddies are having a good time and I'm just trying to unwind, you know?
Yeah.
And it progressed, and I'm not saying this is going to happen to you.
Totally.
I'm saying
it
progressed into a place where I drank doing everything. And one of the things I drank doing was trying to quiet some demons and trying to, you know.
Yeah.
And I will say I was a pretty friendly drunk. I was not a mean drunk. I was not I didn't get thrown out of bars. I didn't get in fights. All I would do is talk your ear off.
How long were you an alcoholic for?
11 years.
11 years. Yeah, that's how you get away with it for being – that's the only way you can be an alcoholic for 11 years probably is if you're –
I mean, technically I still am one, but I am a –
Of course,
Right, yeah. But of course – but yeah, it's – I think – yeah, I was a friendly guy, and I liked, but I'd never thought of it as I'm doing this medicinally. It only became clear the last couple of years that like this used to work and it's not working anymore.
Yeah.
I'm getting miserable, and it's working when I'm out with people and I go home and I'm by myself and I'm miserable and I'm awake. I would go home from the bar and I would stay up and drink in my room and just smoke cigarettes and lean out my window and just like smoke cigarettes blowing out, like, and just miserable. And then I'd wake up sicker than a dog because I drank a bottle of whiskey by myself after having been out, you know. And so it wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. It was exacerbating the problem of my depression and my anxiety. I don't know that it was adding to my anger, but it was definitely adding to things that it wasn't helping. I think it was making my depression and anxiety worse, more so than it was my anger. But I still was left with, in recovery, this problem of, I still don't know what to do about my hair trigger temper. Yeah. I just don't know what to do about the fact that I can be fine and a person says one wrong thing to me at work and I'm ready to throw down. Like, I'm ready to go to jail.
I think my temper finally came to a head for me very recently. I was riding my scooter,
mm-hmm.
and in Los Angeles, you can lane split and all that jazz. And I was riding, and
fuckers scare the shit out of me all the time.
Oh yeah,
even though I bet it's a blast for you to cruise through rush hour traffic.
It's so good.
Yeah,
and I was at a light, and I was filtering to the front, on my scooter, and like this guy kind of, it felt like he was like trying to squeeze me.
Uh-huh.
Like some guy was like turned his wheel to the right to where I was and like kind of started going that way. I'm like, what the fuck? And I honk and I get through and then the guy like honks at me. And then I get in front of him and get in the left turn lane to get onto the freeway. And he like starts blaring, like holds his horn down and is honking at me. And like just so immediate is my temper brought up to the surface. And it's just,
that's gonna be worse 10. When you're outside too, mm-hmm. and you're like, that's so loud in my ear.
It's loud and it's obnoxious. We were actually under the freeway, so it was like amplified, you know. And then
yeah, I would be just 200 degrees.
I put out my kickstand, and I turned off my scooter, and I stood up, and I looked at the guy, and he got out.
And you said, you disgust me.
And I was so angry. I was just like, I felt pretty invincible, because I wear a motorcycle jacket, I have gloves on. Like motorcycle gloves on.
Yeah.
So like if I punched him, it would really hurt.
Yeah.
And I have a helmet on. So he's not going to hit me in the head in any significant way that I couldn't handle. And he gets up out of his car and he's like, he just starts yelling at me. He's like, you sit back down in that car. And he's like, not that big of a guy, but he's like big enough. I'm like, well, I wouldn't get out of this unscathed. I don't know. I didn't say anything. I just looked at him. I just stood there in my gear. And I just looked at this guy.
With the helmet, with the jacket. Mm-hmm. Kind of looking like a superhero.
Yeah, I guess a little.
Did you kind of have your fist clenched?
I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, I just saw my whole life flash before my eyes. It was like I was pulling the thread in the moment, which I've never been able to do before. I'm just like, I have somewhere to be right now. If I follow through with this instinct, I'll go to prison. Like, I'll go to jail. Definitely go to jail. But like, what I want to do is go over there and just get in a fight with this dude. But like, what would that do to my day? And it would just totally ruin the next couple of months of my life, potentially years. And I don't know. It was like, I'd never done anything like that before.
Well, and that's the reality of the problem. Really, that's it right there. Yeah. That's it boiled down, is that like, there is a lot at stake here. It's not something I can just kind of like ignore till my testosterone levels go down.
Right.
Because I'm afraid of the bad decisions I might make in an instant before I have a chance to realize, ooh, wait, before I can see the tape play out. Because I've been in situations too. There's things that'll happen. Like when I used to go to bars a lot, if someone, like I wasn't a mad drunk, but if someone started throwing punches in a bar, I was so mad at their bad behavior that they were ruining everyone else's good night, that everyone else was just here and this drunk asshole was threw a bottle of beer over the counter at the bartender.
Yeah.
I would run into the fray just to get that guy out of the bar. And it was all well-intentioned. It was like, how dare you do this? How dare you bring your shitty behavior into this place where everyone's trying to have a good time? But I knew, I was like, one of these times I'm going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because my rationale would usually go something like, I should be okay. I think everyone will back me up if this guy starts punching me. I think everyone knows that he's the asshole, not me, and everyone should back me up and I should be okay. But I'm like, I don't know if this guy has a knife.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who I'm dealing with here. Yeah. I don't know if this is a completely unhinged sociopath that I'm going over to be a hero at, and he's going to, shank me in the side. Like, yeah. It's So even like we were saying earlier, the altruistic instinct of how dare you ruin everyone here's good time. I'm going to chokehold you out of this bar. I'm going to like with the help of three or four other people, we're going to drag you out of this bar and leave you on the curb. And I'm not going to like kick you or like punch you. I'm just going to like get you out of here. And then I'm going to go back in and keep hanging out with my friends. And I'm going to kind of live on the adrenaline high of having done that for the next like hour or two.
Yeah.
And it is kind of altruistic, but at the same time, it's like, I'm in danger with these instincts, with these evolutionary, protector instincts, with these like that men just go to the place of, I got to fight, you know, our fight or flight instinct goes, and that we can play out. I can't do that because I don't know the result. I just can't afford that. But sometimes,
yeah, too quick.
When you're in a position like we were in Laguna Beach and it was me and my friend and his wife who's pregnant and Mary, and this guy started messing. He started following us for a long time, but he wasn't following us. He was like walking with us, and he was clearly on drugs and clearly like not all there, but he was being very like intentionally intimidating and like and just like wasn't saying anything and was just staring us down. And me and my friend talked about it later, but both of us had in our heads, we're going to have to fight this guy. And we asked the girls, we're like, what was in your heads? And they were like, geez, we hope these guys don't have to fight. Like, you know, and we're all like, well, what would you have done if we weren't there? And they were like, we would have gone into a store and like asked for help, you know? And it's like, our brain just goes to shit, I'm going to have to fight this guy, you know? And it's that it can be altruistic and it can be good and it can be a good protector instinct. And it's like an instinct that I hope I have if I ever have children and there's someone trying to break into the house and it, you know, something like that. But like, at the same time, like, I'm going to get hurt one of these days. I'm going to get hurt or I'm going to wind, you know, tears get you sympathy. Anger gets you maybe an assault charge, you know, or like worse, you know, like it's something that I'm really highly interested in finding a solution for that isn't just waiting for my chemicals to change.
So I've thought about this a lot and for me, it's a two-step process or two, I don't know. There are two main ideas that I have in my head about it. Number one is shine a light on it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like isolating that aspect of yourself will always make it worse. It's not going away. And, you know, I heard somebody say that, you know, you should like put your arm around it like it's your buddy. It's just like it's a part of who you are. And like, don't.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right. And secondly, I think intramural sports are a really good opportunity to exercise it.
How interesting that you started off with the anger coming from sports and now you're saying perhaps a solution is team sports as an adult that are healthy, that there's not major stakes on the line, but just a good way to just sort of get out. So, I mean, maybe even just exercise, regular exercise.
No.
No.
I don't think so.
No. You really don't think so?
No,
really?
I really don't think so.
Really? You think sports? No, why sports in particular?
There have to be stakes.
So that... Stakes. You're saying you think that I'm a little bit of the anger
still,
should
it's
be...
just a game, sure. But, like, you... I want to be... like. I have become the worst person to play basketball with because I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters to me because I have to do that in order to not get angry. No, it's not fun.
People want you to care a little bit.
No, we keep score because it's a game and we play games because we want to feel passion and we want to feel passion because we want to feel alive.
You
want to
win. Even when you're being a good sport.
Sure, you want to win. And like being a good sport doesn't mean you don't want to win. It means that like when things don't go your way, you're not going to be an asshole about it. And
so you think you can exercise a little, you can like almost get a little bit of the anger out through the intramural sport in a safe way. Is that what you're
and
saying?
And like, see it as like this thing, this like, I don't know, it's just this thing you have to, this tool you have to utilize. I mean, going back to what my mom said, I mean, she was kind of on the right track. It's like something you have to learn. Like, the more it comes out, the more you get to, like, see it. Like, that one opportunity I got to, like, stand there and see my future in the moment. Like, I don't get to do that ever. That never happens. But, like, I don't know. Like, if I just don't want to be ashamed of it anymore. And I want to care about things. And, like, I playing sports is a great arena for me to just exercise that. I don't know. I'm not saying this the way I want to say it, but
no, I like that though. I think it's a good. It's almost like if you can do it healthily, like maybe people who like do UFC fighting or even like sure. I love football and I watch football and I'm like, you know, people always say like, well, it's no surprise that these guys wind up beating their girlfriends and stuff, which it's like, it's a very small percentage of yeah. the thousands of people who play the sport who, but anyway, that's yeah. neither here nor I'm not, there's so many things in this topic that could sound like I'm excusing bad behavior yeah. by men because, oh, it's just chemicals or, yeah. or like, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, I don't necessarily think there's a correlation between like the violence of sports and violent men. If anything, you could say that maybe there's these guys who get to unleash some of these demons in that setting where there are stakes on the field, but in real life, it's not like you're winning a war for a country or mm-hmm. you're like, you know, saving your family from annihilation. It's putting almost pretend stakes that you can like filter some of your... I personally like caring about sports so much. One of the reasons I like caring about sports as a fan so much is like I get really worked up.
Yeah.
But I kind of like caring about something that I really know at the end of the day isn't going to make or break the planet or my life, yeah. you know? That at the end of the day, it's like no one's going to lose their house because the Utes didn't win the Pac-12 South. Huh. You know, like, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe one of those coaches who yeah. gets fired or something.
yeah.
you
but
know?
No, but yeah, you're yeah. absolutely right. And, yeah, I just want to, I want to feel that, and I want to be okay with it, and I don't, I guess what is so important to me about, like, recognizing the testosterone element of it is that, like, especially growing up Mormon, like, and believing in the soul, like that you existed before this and you're going to exist beyond it. And like you are somebody, you are who you are throughout eternity. It's like, it's really difficult for me to settle on the idea that like, yeah, you are who you are and you're an angry son of a bitch.
Yeah. I don't want to be that person. No. I want people to, cause if you ever met just like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, I know so many,
those guys.
And I think you're a nice guy, by the way.
Thanks.
But
but no, that's totally different.
But those people
I know
that
you
meet
and
you're
about.
Like, what do you get? Mary's dad is just like one of the nicest people I've ever
sure,
met.
Yeah.
She even told me today, she was telling me a story about like how she dumped chocolate milk on her brother as a little girl. And she yeah. was like, she's like, and my dad, he got more mad than I've ever seen. He was like, hey, come on, guys. And I was like, yeah, that's your dad. Like, you poured chocolate milk on your brother. And he's like, hey, you guys, come on now. like, yeah. She's like, he was pretty fired up. And I'm like, yeah, John Neville's, like, one of the nicest guys I've ever yeah. met. And I just go, like, but I have to live up to that for my partner who, like, I want to be... like John Neville. I want to be a nice man.
I guess what I'm saying is that, like, it was just really freeing when I learned that, like, this isn't your soul. It's just a chemical pumping around in your veins that
this
kind of brings this
you...
out. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I think this is a bigger thing. Like, when 100 years ago, when a kid couldn't read because the words kept moving around on him, like, we blamed it on bad parenting and a stupid kid.
Yeah.
But now it's like, no, it's dyslexia. It's not his fault.
Or he needs glasses.
Or he needs glasses. Yeah. 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 Yeah, you know? And, like, I mean, I think we're coming to realize that more and more about humans. It's just like, oh, no. Like, my mom actually had 5 kids. And one of the kids died. My older brothers died of SIDS at like 6 weeks old.
Oh God.
And like, it was awful.
Yeah.
But like, if that had happened 50 years before, she could have gone to prison for suffocating her child.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, we're learning more and more about biology and like, even, you know, we brought up pedophilia earlier and it's just like these people, like we love to throw them in prison, but like they're sick. Like, there's something...
Yeah, I always go to, like, no one's born a pedophile. Like, I was attracted to 4-year-olds when I was 4.
Yeah.
Weird. I had crushes on girls in preschool. Like, but, you know...
No,
like,
I get it.
Yeah, you know, like...
I was right there with you.
Yeah, nobody's born, you know. So it's like, sure, I was attracted to the kids that were my age when I was those ages. And so I can't be born a pedophile because I can't, you know what I mean?
I don't know if I agree with that entirely, but.
You think that it's a, like, something that might be in, that could be genetically passed down, possibly?
I don't know.
Topic for another day.
I think the further along we get, we certainly consider anger to be one of those things. It's like, oh, you get your anger from your dad.
Right, but maybe we do, just from that, like, whatever it is, that X
chromosome. Maybe it's an example, or maybe it's actual.
Is it the Y chromosome that we have? Or sure. It's just like a condition of being biologically male is you're going to have this, like you said, battery acid, but the battery acid might just be that biological component of testosterone that's pumping through your blood that is telling you that you need to fight every potential threat, and every perceived insult is a, you know.
It was really helpful for a long time in human history.
Yeah.
But now it's just
not. Maybe, too. Necessary. I mean, but I think, yeah, I think.
It wouldn't exist if it wasn't helpful.
I think that could help. So like you said, you offered up a few good things, shining a light on it, playing sports. I think something that could help, too, is acknowledging the chemical component of it.
Sure.
To understand that there needs to be a little bit more understanding of what boys are going, of like what our boys are going through. These boys, we keep talking about how we want men to be better in society.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I agree. And I'm on this show, I'm trying to talk about ways that I can be better. I'm trying to be a people pleaser. That's, you know, one of my many issues, is that I want everyone to be happy, and I know I can't actually accomplish that. But I want men to do better. I don't want men to be these angry, unfulfilled people that we need to be afraid of. I don't want I don't want husbands who beat their wives or fathers who beat their kids. I don't want, you know, or even just say awful things to the people that they love. And I see that in myself, and I don't want to be that or to become that. And if we can start from a place of understanding that this is something that people are actively wrestling with and are aware of, and we can come at it from a perspective of, okay, well, is there a way to, we understand the chemical of it. Are there ways to, I was never a hunter. Maybe hunting's a thing that, you know, like, I've always looked at hunting and been like, you just go out there and kill stuff? Like, you just, like, boys and they go out and just, like, kill animals? Like, it seems sociopathic and weird to me, but maybe I missed out on some, you know, therapeutic exercising of some kind of, I don't know, like, maybe there's something in there that, like, we're supposed to, as a part, a male part of the species, we're supposed to hunt. I don't know. But do you ever try meditation? Do you ever try?
Yeah.
Do you like meditating?
I don't do as consistently as I should, which I think is literally every person that has ever done a meditation.
Yep, every single person knows that if we would just do it every day.
I mean, for goodness sake.
Or three times every day, we would feel better, but
if I would just get around to setting that reminder for myself every day, but I don't. But I do, like, throughout the day, I try to, like, take 60 breaths, you know, just a couple times a day. And, like, simple as that, you know, trying to recenter myself just a little bit. And
yeah.
I think that helps a little. I don't know, man.
Yeah. We've been at it for a bit, and I think we got good coverage on this. How do you feel?
I feel good.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No.
You want to plug anything? You want to, like, tell people to listen to your music or something?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen to... Listen to Festive People.
Listen to Festive People. I'm working on some solo stuff, and it'll be released here in the next couple months.
Will it be released under John Lane?
Yes.
Yeah, you can look up Red Jacket John on Instagram.
Insta.
Follow John Lane, actor, musician, artist.
Yeah.
All right, Angry Boy.
Angry Boy.
Okay. Thanks, man.
See ya.
See ya. All right, so there it was. There was my conversation with John Lane about anger. A few quick clarifications. When we talk about differences in men and women leading to higher instances of violent rage in one sex more than the other on this episode, we are speaking from a purely chemical standpoint, and we are speaking in largely broad general terms. We are not speaking about gender identification, just about the chemicals in the majority of biologically male humans versus biologically female ones. This discussion was not meant in any way to insinuate that there are only two gender boxes humans fit into. Rather, it was meant to be just a confrontation of a scary truth about a lot of people in society, specifically a lot of men. And the evidence out there on this is real. It isn't just anecdotal. A study as recent as 2013 by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime found that men accounted for nearly 96% of violent crimes worldwide and made up 79% of the victims of violent crimes. So, like, shit. Dudes, we gotta watch out for that. People Pleaser is written, edited, produced, and hosted by me, Austin Archer, with original music also by me. You can find more of my music, the kind with lyrics and everything, on Apple Music or Spotify, or at austin-archer.com. That's Austin dash, not the word dash, but an actual dash, and not a slash, a dash with a D, the key next to your zero on your keyboard, austin-archer.com. Thanks.